new IQ tester?
Yep, that's what we do.
Okay, because I think I need one.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Why do you need one?
Well, I've had some people lately telling me I have a low IQ.
Ooh, shots fired. Gosh, who's been telling you that?
Well, some people online have been telling me that, like the president, and even my dogs are looking at me a little bit condescendingly now.
Well, we'll find out. So with this IQ test, I'll just ask you a series of simple, really common sense questions, and you just give me your best answer.
I'm actually kind of a little bit nervous right now.
Oh, yeah, you should be, because if you turn out to be what some would call a low IQ nut job, then you're pretty much a lost cause.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, first question. Which word doesn't belong? Apple, banana, carrot, orange.
Is it carrot?
Very good, because it's not a fruit at all. It's clever. Next question. Who would be considered more of a traitor to their country? Person A, who receives $230 million from a foreign lobby, or person B, who receives $0 from a foreign lobby?
I mean, clearly person A.
Wrong.
Come on, that's got to be correct.
Next. Hypothetical question. If a country has a major shipping waterway that you want to have open, and it's currently open, but they'll close it if you go to war, what would be a smart way to ensure that waterway stays open?
You don't go to war with them.
No, not even close. I mean, common sense would say go to war with that country and stay at war with that country as a way of putting pressure on them to reopen it after they've closed it because you went to war with them.
Are you playing with a full deck?
I don't play cards, but thanks for asking. Oh, and this is a good one. If you had the desire to take down an international pedophile ring, what would be the best way to follow through on that desire?
Well, you launch a full investigation using every means necessary, and then you prosecute those bastards the fullest extent of the law.
Wrong. No. You would launch an effort to prevent any investigations and prosecutions.
That can't be right.
Well, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You
know. These questions are kind of weird.
Oh, I assure you, these are standardized IQ test questions, sir. Next question. Here's a scenario. You got a person, they work for America and America only. What country does that person work for?
America?
That's incorrect. They work for Iran. Next question. Who's more beautiful as a woman? France's first lady, or maybe man, or Candace Owens?
Candace Owens?
No.
Have you seen France's first lady?
I would totally do her. If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe. Any reasonable man would. Okay, how would you describe what America first means?
Putting America's interests first above any other foreign nation.
No, you're actually describing anti-Semitism. Yuck. Okay, last question. What year did we first land on the moon?
We've never been to the moon.
No, we've been to the moon. We go all the time. Well, your test is complete. I've never seen a score like this before.
What'd I get?
You got an IQ of 65.
Is that high?
No, that's a very low IQ.
My life is literally ruined. He was right.
Who was right?
Just don't worry about that now. My big question is, what am I going to do with my life now that I've learned that I am so stupid?
Well, just remember, you're also a nut job. But yeah, you're pretty screwed. Really, the only option I can give low IQ people such as yourself is to, like, go off and open a Somali daycare.
I am completely devastated. Are you talking about that creature looks like from the Lord of the Rings, the goblin thing that shuffles around beside Macron, whatever it is? You're saying she's beautiful? Okay. Beautiful doesn't do it like a gremlin, maybe. Good. We have two new products at theolivestore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for tests. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing, and they're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get the ultramethylene blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head on.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. In studio, we have the one and only Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. And over the weekend, his employees... Now, Michael is no stranger to the show. You might have seen him here covering many issues, his lawsuits against the federal government, maybe the time he went after a criminal and confronted him on a bus. I mean... Which is like, you read this story and you're like, what? You know, literally, it's something out of a movie. Everybody gets off the bus and there's the guy back there and the cops go in and look and they're like, oh, he doesn't have a gun, but they found it where he had stuffed it under under the chair. I mean, you hear these stories and you're like, this can't be true. And you know, and you got Michael Cargill here. He has a family of employees and, you know, they're like a work family. And, you know, they teach people how to buy guns, how to shoot guns, how to safely handle guns, a lot of safety classes. Well, over the weekend, a couple of his employees were involved in an incident that was a shooting and ended up leading to the death of someone. And I'm reading over this account, and it looks like what happened is the guy who kind of started the whole incident off, of course, nothing happens to him. He gets off scot-free, but it was between a beef that happened in 2020 and this whole thing starts off, and this is crazy.
Yeah.
But your employee Ryan Laura was involved in this shooting, and I guess he's posted bond and he's back out. But tell people what happened a little bit.
Yeah. So this was last Friday night. You know, we actually had gone out to dinner. We all, you know, had a nice little dinner, and then they decided they were going to go out after that. I decided I was going to go home. And go to bed. You know, I'm getting up there in age. I'm almost 60 years old. So, you know, when it gets dark, I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so they went out, and apparently prior to them arriving at this club in Austin, Texas, what happened was there was a fight that broke out inside the club before my employees got there. And so this guy decided that he wanted to have a fight with one of the employees of the club.
Yeah.
You know, something that started like 6 years ago, back in 2020. He said, hey, you know, let's, you know, continue this fight, you know, because we didn't finish, you know, the first time. And so to me, that's insane all in itself. You know, who carries a, you know, a grudge for 6 years, you know?
I actually have a grudge from high school.
Do you? You know,
but I'll probably never see that guy again.
Okay. So, hey, 6 years, you know, he sees him, you know, at work. And this guy says, hey, dude, I'm at work right now.
Right.
You know, I don't have time to do this at work. Wait until I'm off work somewhere else. And then, we can go to a ring somewhere and we can fight it out. Guy's like, no, we're going to do this right now. You know, this happened 6 years ago. I'm still pissed off about it. So, you know, ding, ding, here we go. And so they start fighting, you know, inside the place. And like I said, my employees are not there yet. And so they're fighting, they're going on. This is, you know, other people are jumping in, you know, so now this is a group of people attacking the employees that actually work for the club.
Yeah.
And so the manager of this establishment called 911 and the police never showed. And so they eventually were able to get these people out of the club. And so they're walking outside. As they're walking outside, that is when my employees actually pulled into the parking lot. So they pull in, and these guys are still pissed off about what just happened inside the club. So they immediately turn to my guy, you know, while he was in his vehicle and start banging on his vehicle, you know, because he's still pissed off. And my guy's, you know, like, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? He's like, dude, and he's saying some name. And dude's like, that's not me. You know, you're confusing me with someone else. That's not me.
Oh, so he thought he was somebody else.
He thought my guy was someone else. And so he's already crazy. You know, he's carrying on a beef for 6 years and he's trying to fight someone. And now he's wanting to fight one of my guys thinking he's someone else. So then that escalated. It went from zero to like 100 miles an hour in a matter of seconds. Some females got involved. And then all of a sudden it became 12 people, you know, attacking my two employees, you know, wow. in a parking lot. And so one of my guys, you know, has a fractured skull, fractured face. He has his eyes closed. He has bruised ribs. And so my guy actually loses consciousness. He's on the ground. These guys are pounding, stomping. This is going on for like a minute. And he's stumping my guy. And my other guy is looking over because, look, this is, you know, they won't stop. You know, they will not stop. So he had no choice but to pull his gun out and use it. Because, you know, either my guy was going to die being stumped to death. He's already, you know, cracked skull. You know, eyes closed, bruised ribs, you know.
And when you read the affidavit account from the other people involved in this, it's like, oh, he went out and he leaned on a car. That's what they say.
If it doesn't make sense, it's a lie. Yeah. You know, so I'm pissed off because I just got in a fight inside a club. So I'm going to walk outside and a truck is pulling into the parking lot. And I'm just going to lean on that truck.
Lean on it, yeah. yeah.
Right. No, I'm pissed off and I'm going to bang on that truck and attack that truck and take my anger out on them because I just, you know, got kicked out of this bar.
Jeez. and so your guy and obviously the guy that was banging on the truck, he's not the one that got shot, but from what you've gathered, one of the guys that was attacking your other employee was one of the guys that got shot.
Absolutely. Everyone that was in that parking lot, they are all guilty. Yeah. They're all guilty of attacking my employees, every single one of them.
What is going on with the spirit of people that, you know, your weekends are supposed to be a time to relax and have fun? There was actually a birthday party going on at this club, or they were cleaning up from a birthday party that had just happened. So like a time where it's supposed to be fun. And then you have this that breaks out. And what does that tell you about the spirit? What is going on in Austin where, you know?
It just tells you people can't, you know, some people can't handle their alcohol. So we're talking, this is all before 9 o'clock at night.
Jeez.
This is all before 9 p.m. At 9 p.m., you're that lit, you're that high and that lit that you can't control yourself at 9 p.m. You know, and once again, if the APD, if Austin Police Department had shown up the first time 911's call with the thing that happened inside, then it never would have escalated to that point that someone actually ended up getting killed.
And what was the time that the APD was first called? Do they have that?
No, they don't have that time in there. They actually have the time where they just showed up.
Where they showed up after
the
event.
Which their times are actually wrong in the affidavit, so they're incorrect.
Yeah, because people started, in the affidavit, you could say that people heard gunshots and then they... started calling 911, sheltering in place and whatnot, but had the manager first called the cops called the cops after this fight was going on, which happened before, and had the APD just done their job, and they were probably like, you know what, I don't know if you watch Texas fights on X. I mean, you got people, it's insanity.
Yeah, it's mayhem.
It's mayhem. And you're like,
and that's what happened with my guys. My second guy was in the parking lot.
They just kind of walked into this situation.
Someone came in behind him, and three people, one of the people that actually was shot and killed was one of the people that actually hit him in the back.
Wow.
In the back of the head.
Sneak attack.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why his face, even still today, his face is swollen. His eyes, you know, almost completely shut, you know, even still today. You know, and this is today, you know, it's Tuesday. So, you know, this guy lost consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know...
And you see that when a gang starts stomping on people,
yes.
A gang of people, they start getting one person. You're like, man, that person's not coming out of it without, you know, they're going to be unconscious. Something's going to happen to them. Right. They're getting effed up.
In what world is it okay, you know, for 12 people to attack two?
Right.
What world is that all right? And to the point that you're seconds away from killing someone.
And it's not even the right people.
Right. Exactly. And you're confused
about
even know who this person is. You're confusing them with someone else. And so, you know, hey.
And when you read the account, they're like, we're the victims.
Right.
You know, we're the victims of this. We did was walk outside of a club after we started a fight inside the club.
And actually, when you look at the affidavit, you can go to like the second page, that third paragraph. The guy says, I'm confused as to why people are fighting. But then he jumps in.
Yeah.
He actually says that in his affidavit. He writes down, I'm confused as to why people are fighting, and then jumps in and starts fighting. That is insane. You don't even know what's going on. You're jumping in and you're helping, you know, and it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. You see one of your friends in an altercation, you're going to run out there and you're going to help your friend out.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why it was 12 people against two. Everyone in this party, this group that was at this function, you know, jumped on my employees because they mistook them for someone else as they pulled into the parking lot to go to this establishment. Wow. Insane.
Wow. Deadly Cabana Club shooting was self-defense. Gunman tells Austin PD. We actually have you defending your employees. You had a lot of mics on you. I guess you were at a, they came to your gun store so you could do a press conference or whatever. But
yeah,
they,
I wanted to make a statement because I was criticized for this.
And you're very good at making statements.
I say, you know, Michael, why are you coming out? Why are you talking about this? Well, one, I'm the gun guy. You know, I'm the public figure. I'm gun store owner. You know, I've sued the federal government. I sued, you know, the Austin Police Department, the, you know, constable's office, whatever. And I've won all these court cases. And one of my employees directly involved in a shooting that can be considered a mass shooting, you know, mm-hmm. one person dead, you know, multiple people injured. And so if I don't come out and say something, it'd be damned if I do and damned if I don't.
Right.
So I had no choice but to come out and say something. And I'm definitely going to defend my people. I'm going to look at the evidence. And if my people did something wrong, then I'll admit they did something wrong. But they were definitely in the right here. They did exactly what I would do. They did exactly what I teach people to do. And they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
All right. Let's go to that clip.
I want to make sure it's very clear that my employees did exactly what they were supposed to do. They defended themselves. They were being attacked. Someone tried to kill them. One employee was knocked unconscious. He had no choice but to defend himself. He did exactly what I would have done. He did exactly what I trained them to do.
There it is right there. I mean, and you just said it right here. So it's like, you know, when they say, when you know the truth, you don't have to remember what you said.
Absolutely.
You know, it just rolls off your tongue. So in that situation, from your knowledge, so they pull up in a parking lot. So you have a truck that's obviously part of this whole deal. Did they attack the guys in the passenger seat or the guys in the driver's seat first?
So this is in the driver's seat. So
the driver was getting attacked.
Right. So the driver is in the driver's seat. These people were in the parking lot. They start banging on the vehicle, and that's where it all started from right there.
Right. And then so the passenger is the one who got out and helped his buddy.
Absolutely.
And defended him from being attacked. And you're saying 12 people.
12 versus two. Wow. In what world is it okay for 12 people to attack two people and you not have the right to defend yourself?
Over a case of mistaken identity. Austin police said Friday night shooting at the Cabana Club left a man dead, others injured. Go back to that, please. I was just reading the rest of that. Gun store owner says one against 12. Others proceeding an altercation, self-transported to the hospital. So the other people left the scene, I guess, and went to the hospital?
Correct. They all went to the hospital. And, you know, once this happened, so my guys actually, you know, they tried to check themselves out, you know, because they were badly injured. And so they ended up going to urgent care and then eventually went to the hospital themselves.
Yeah.
After calling 911 first and then calling the attorney and exercising their right to remain silent.
So right.
They invoked their rights, which everyone has a right. I wish people would do that more often. Once you defend yourself, you have a right, you know, to remain silent, not to incriminate yourself. And so it's important that you don't make any statements to police because you're caught up in the motions. You're caught up in what's going on right now. And it's easy for you to, you know, say the wrong thing that's being recorded by law enforcement on the dash cam and also in the vehicle,
sure.
Even in the back of that vehicle. You know, you could be recorded saying something and then that's definitely going to play against you in court. So it's best you sit there, remain silent. And then when you get to jail, because I tell my students, you're going to be arrested. You're going to go to jail. You're going to have to bail yourself out of jail. And while you're in jail, don't even make phone calls because those phone calls are being recorded and that's going to be used against you as well. Don't make phone calls. You got to have a plan when something happens so that way that plan can be kicked into place.
And how did they pick up Ryan? Did they actually go to his house or did he turn himself in? How did that transpire?
So he went to urgent care. He then called 911 from urgent care. He, you know, and the police came over there to arrest him there. And then they took him from there to the hospital because they had to get x-rays and all this stuff done at the hospital and get checked out. So he's doing a lot better. He's okay. He's not locked up because we have six attorneys that are on this case. There's six attorneys and there's two private investigators that are on this case. And I've never lost a case. I've been expert witnesses in multiple cases. And so this, me, is a clear case of self-defense. And so I don't plan on, you know, we're not going to lose this. When you're talking first degree, you know, first degree felony, you know, murder, mm-hmm. you know, do you know what the qualifications for that is? You know,
right.
You know, so.
And they're going to have 11 other witnesses obviously testifying that, oh, we just walked outside and all of a sudden this happened. I mean, when you read this affidavit, you're like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, but your hands are dirty. Your hands are dirty because you initiated a fight inside of a club of something that happened 6 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago, I had a beef with someone and now I'm pissed off and I want to get this person back while they're working, you know, and then jump on this person, attack this person. And then my friends help me inside the club to the point that police are called. They don't show up, but I get kicked out of the place. And then when I get kicked out, I run into someone who I don't know, thinking that I do know this person and initiate a fight with this person, you know.
And this is a great, you know, testimony for the Second Amendment, because the cops were called, cops didn't show up, then two other people who are just walking into the maelstrom, they don't even know they're walking into, start getting attacked, and they defended themselves.
So no one in that parking lot, no one part of that group can say they have a halo over their head,
right?
You know, they don't, you know.
Well, but also the cops didn't show up till gunshots were fired,
right?
You know, and when it's 12-on-2, and one of the people is being, you know, gang pounded unconscious, you know, what do you do? It's like you know, the scene from The Outsiders when they're beating up the one guy and they're holding him underwater, choking him. The other dude pulls out a knife and defends him.
Yeah, either you die or you defend yourself. You
exactly.
Know, your choice.
Judged by 12, carried by 6, what they say.
And then some people are saying, well, you know, well, Michael, this was a bar. You know, it was a 51%. They weren't supposed to carry inside the bar. Well, guess what? They were not inside the bar. Right. They were in their vehicle. They just pull up to the parking lot. You know what I do when I get to an establishment and I can't carry? One, I'm carrying. You know, I have the gun on me while I'm in my vehicle.
Yeah.
When I get to an establishment that I cannot have the gun in the vehicle, what I do is I get out of the vehicle with the gun on me. I put it in my lockbox, you know, that's in the rear of my vehicle, you know, and then lock my doors and go into that establishment, mm-hmm. you know. So I have the gun on me. So if you approach me, you know, at the time that I, you know, am going from my vehicle to the back of the vehicle, whatever, I'm still inside the vehicle, I have my gun on me. I can have a gun in a parking lot. Everywhere I can have a gun in the parking lot, unless I'm on federal property. And last time I checked, the Cabana Club is not federal property. So I can have a gun on me in the vehicle, inside the vehicle, multiple guns inside the vehicle, 20 guns inside the vehicle. I can get outside the vehicle. I can stand in the parking lot with 20 guns in the parking lot. And that's totally legal. If you attack me while I'm in that parking lot, I have my 20 guns on me, I'm going to shoot you with 20 guns.
And so that law only starts when you cross the threshold going into the establishment.
In the building, on the premises, which is the building.
Yeah. There it is. So you have to know the law. A lot of people don't know the law in these cases. A lot of people would have talked to the cops. But, you know, with the training of Michael Cargill, and talk about this training, because I've done gun safety training with you to get a concealed carry. And we talked a little bit about incidents, but do you have more courses where you actually go into like if this was what happens if you get into, you know, a shootout of some sort? We talked a little bit about it, but it was more like these are the all the ways you have to carry. These are all the laws you have to follow. It was more that to, you know, because you're taking a test.
Right. I remind people that when it comes to you defending yourself, you have to remember if it's aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery, you can use force, a deadly force to stop someone to protect yourself. If they're attempting to enter or remove you from your home, your vehicle, or your place of business, there are three places that you should feel safe in the state of Texas. In most states, you should feel safe. That is your home, your vehicle, and your place of business. If someone attempts to enter or remove you from your home, your vehicle, your place of business, you can use force, a deadly force, to stop them. That is the Castle Doctrine. So these guys did not know what the gun laws were. They didn't know what self-defense laws were. And so they FA and they FO'd.
Yeah. That's what happens. And then after the shooting, what should somebody do if they are involved in a shooting and they're the one who pulled the trigger?
You should immediately call 911. You know, first you got to check yourself out, make sure, okay, get yourself out of there. You know, you got to get out of danger and get to safety. And that's what I taught my people to do. They got out of there, they got out of, you know, got to safety, and then, you know, went to get medical care, and then they called 911, and then they called the attorney, which is what they should have done. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
And when did you find out about this? You said you went to sleep that night. Did you find out early the next morning?
Yeah, I fell asleep. Someone gave me a call, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And it took me a couple seconds to wake up. And
why is my phone buzzing?
Yeah, you know, it's always, yeah. If it's not my parents, you know, something going on. Yeah. You know, someone breaking into my parents' home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, climbing through the second floor of their window, my parents shooting and killing this person. You know, it's, you know, my employees, my friends, or someone like that, you know. So that's what happens.
Wow.
And that puts me, Michael Cargill, right in the middle.
It does. And you've been in the middle of a few of these things. Tell people quickly, we got about 4 minutes left, the bus incident. That happened, started at your store, right?
Yeah, so this guy, he's a teenager. He decided to walk into the gun store. My employee was showing him a firearm, and this guy decided to take the gun and run out the front door with
it. Snatch and grab.
Yeah, snatch and grab there. And so, you know, this guy, you know, comes in and does this, and, you know, when we're all there, you know, we're on point. You know, we have a code word, we have a plan, you know, we get into action, and we communicate with each other, you know, whether it's body language, movements, whatever, words, and we jump in and boom, we go, you know, and everyone's like right on point. So one employee goes for the vehicle, another employee calls 911. I go out the back door. And so this guy goes to the city bus station. He gets on the city bus there. I run over and I stop the bus from going, you know, and I ask the bus driver to open the door. The bus driver opens the door. I get inside the city bus there and I tell the bus driver, lock the door. Don't let anyone off this bus. And so I said, you know, this guy's got a gun that he stole from us and he's not getting off this bus. So the customers that were on the bus were like, what's going on? I said, look, this guy, he took a gun. He stole a gun from a gun store and no one's getting off this bus. We will die before I let this guy get off this bus. And so everyone sitting on the bus, you know, grabbed their phone, started calling 911.
Right.
I'm like, great, because I've called them. My employees have called them and the police are not here yet. So great. Continue to call. You know, so you tell them there's a black guy on this bus with a gun. You know, you tell them whatever you need to tell them to get the police here. But he is not getting off this bus with his gun and committing a crime with it. So finally, the police get there. I actually ended up calling ATF myself. And ATF contacted the local law enforcement.
You called the feds.
I called the feds. And so I'm like, look, dude, I've called the police and they're not showing up yet. You know, what's going on? You know,
we got a stolen gun. Right. That's a federal matter.
It is. Yeah. And so they contacted local law enforcement. Then finally, you know, 3-4 officers showed up. 2 agents showed up. And so they handcuffed this guy, his friend, and they started searching him. They said, he doesn't have a gun. I'm like, oh, crap. I said, trust me, the gun's on this bus. Yeah. You know, they're like, no, we can't find it. I said, trust me, either one of the customers, you know, has the firearm, or he's hitting this firearm, you know, in the back of the bus or somewhere. And so they started searching. They're searching. They're looking. I called my employees, had them send me a security camera footage of he put it in a backpack.
Right.
I had them send me that backpack. And so I showed them. I said, look, this is what we're looking for. The gun is in his backpack, you know, and so it's on this bus. And so they're looking, they're searching, and finally it was an extended bus, you know, and they finally found it in the back of the bus, you know, in the back seat underneath something.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a Glock 17 that he stolen from the gun store.
And Glock 17, they just showed a picture of you. We actually have a video. There it is right there. We got video still of Michael Cargill on the bus trying to explain to the cops, listen, I know there's a gun on this bus and nobody's getting off until we get to the bottom of this. Amazing. Hey, Michael, I got some callers. Do you want to stay on for the next segment and take calls with
Absolutely.
Me?
Go for it.
All right. And I also want to transition. This is an interesting case that I think you might. Missing nuclear official becomes 10th person leaked to dark pattern surrounding U.S. secrets. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
This is these are all the people that since 2023 that have been involved in different types of Air Force propulsion type things, and they're missing. And now we have a 10th person. It was 9 not too long ago, but you can see 2026. We got two new people.
Oh, wow.
So one just went missing, and that's Steven Garcia, 48, vanished without a trace, and August 28th. So they're just finding these people now. I mean, it's getting crazier and crazier. Like I said, it's a crazy world, right? Maybe if some of these people were armed, they might not be missing. That's interesting. You know, and I wish I had the video. I had another video that I saw on the weekend that I wanted to show you. In fact, I'll see if I can find it.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Got some callers on the line. I'm gonna look, see if anybody is Second Amendment real quick. It looks like everybody's ghost murmur. Oh, is that yeah? What do you think? Oh, somebody wants to say Alex jumped the shark. I'll definitely go to Keith. We got Godzilla, John, Patriot Independence, and Wayne in Missouri. We're going to go to all you guys, but I was talking to Michael during the break, and I'm like, you got to see this video, because And guys, pull this up, stick it in the middle of us so we can look at it while we're talking. But this, it's like an old lady and old man. They're out in the woods, you know, live out in the middle of, in the country, and they got their security cameras on, and I think something hit their light. And so they're looking at this. Pull it up, guys. Let's roll it. Let's not keep the suspense. And do y'all have it or do you not have it? You said you had it. Oh, you're putting it in the boxes.
So
all right. There it is.
Are going off.
You can kill the audio. So they said the roosters are going nuts. They're fast forwarding it. And it's going to go over to like a little, it looks like some sort of a water tank at some point. We're going to push into this. It looks like a little water tank or like a, and they're seeing something out there in the distance. They're like, what is now? And it looks like it's, and Grok said this was not AI. It looks like security camera. So, what the heck is that?
It's time to go. I know that.
Time to grab your gun.
That's right.
They follow this thing around. This thing's walking around their property for a while, and they don't hear the dogs barking, so it's not waking up the dogs. And it's got a very peculiar walk, kind of walks like Joe Biden. But at one point, they got this thing, and see, it's just kind of walking along, looking. You can't really see any hair or clothes on this thing, and it's sort of all blown out, probably from the light. Like you can see where the spotlight's kind of blowing it out. So this doesn't look like it's faked in any way. And there it goes running off again. But and then they back it up, and they go, and it's literally looking through their window. You can see it over there on the window. It's going to be to the bottom left of that screen. There's the window. And then you go back to the thing, and there it is looking in their window right there. Creepy. What do you do in that situation there, Michael Cargill?
Man, I think I would follow it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got to investigate.
You got to see where it's going.
I need to know where you're going, who are you, and oh, yeah, I'm going to follow.
Is that an illegal alien? What are we looking at?
It looks like it. I'm looking for some kind of, you know, vehicle or something that's, you know.
Moving pretty fast right there. It seemed to get a drink of water from that tower, whatever that tower was.
I'm getting the dogs and we're going after it.
Okay. So get the dogs first.
Absolutely.
And your gun. You going shotgun or AR-15?
Oh, AR all the way.
AR.
Okay. 60 round mag.
60 round mag.
That's right. That's okay. Right.
And a sidearm.
Absolutely.
And a knife.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very interesting. Totally creeped me out looking at that because you hear, you know, in the Appalachian Mountains, they say if you're out there and something starts calling your name, don't go to the thing calling your name. Walk away and, in fact, run away.
I think by the time the police got there, I would have finished performing the autopsy.
All right. Let's go to Wayne in Missouri. He wants to talk about what's really going on with the Iran war. Wayne has got the intel. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, first of all, I want to say thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And I want to say thank you to Alex Jones for waking me up out of my sleep years ago after 9/11 happened. Because I was walking around just raising my kids, wasn't really paying attention to anything that was going on, trying to pay my bills, watching CNN and everything that they were telling me on the television. So I just
when they pulled out the passport, they're like, "Well, wow, they found the passport. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good police work."
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I don't know if any of your listeners or you are familiar with a website called PrometheanAction.com.
I am actually. I know I've heard the name. Who does Promethean Action?
Well, they have a bunch of different people that do.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. There's an older lady that likes to talk about what's going on.
Susan Bokinda.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, a friend of mine named John from Tennessee turned me on to them just in the last couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or so. And if you haven't heard the way she explains things about how Britain has basically been acting like the mob and protection money, like, you know, hey, if you don't pay us for protection, your place won't burn down if you pay us. If Lloyd's of London coffee shop in London is a little bitty coffee shop that has been giving ships coming out of the Strait of Hormuz permission, insurance, so to speak, and this has been going on for the last 100 years. So she's a lady. Now, I can't say everything she's saying is 100% true, but if you've never heard it the way that she's been explaining it in the last couple of weeks, everybody listening right now needs to go there and listen to this woman, because she really sounds like she knows what she's talking about.
And she's very measured, and she backs her stuff up with sources. And a lot of the stuff she talks about is not stuff in the like mainstream media that you're going to see. You're not going to see the stuff she's talking about. She's going in and looking at policy papers and looking at things that were said 2 years ago, and then like showing how they relate to stuff today, which I really like how, and I'll tell you what, if you watch some Promethean action videos, you'll look at the madness going on right now and be like, oh, okay, I kind of see what's going on. That some of this makes sense. Okay, I'm not going to jump off a building. I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to blow myself up, you know. And I hear what you're saying, Wayne. That's good. And she seems to be saying this is a reorder. Her whole thing with Trump is he's reordering stuff, and it's moving away from Europe, kind of be, and especially England being the controlling house of the world, basically world affairs, and that it's moving and we're breaking away from Europe in that whole contingent. North America is becoming its own big boy. We're putting on our big boy pants, and we're not being part of the world order that has happened. And so we are creating, in a sense, you could say we are creating a new world order, but it's not one based on globalism. It's one based on where America is like, boom, we're going to be the big dog on the block, and we're not going to take crap from people.
Yeah, we're the massive superpower. You know, yeah. You know, we have the best military on this planet. So
yeah, it makes sense. Is that what your assessment is as well, Wayne?
Yes, it is. And thank you for understanding that. You know, England has never been our friend ever. You know. You know, I get it. I have English blood in me. I'm English, Irish, Croatian, Dutch, and German. So I've got a lot of different nationalities in me. But we sent them packing in the Revolutionary War, and they have been nothing but a thorn in the whole world's side, let alone ours. They've never been on our side, even though we claim them as an ally. The government, you know, the English people, there's a lot of good people everywhere. Don't get me wrong, but...
Their government's totally holding them hostage with all the migrants and everything.
Just like they've done holding the whole world hostage way longer than I've been alive, and we've been alive. I mean, you know, they're terrible, absolutely terrible.
Let me get this out real quick, and then I'll let you finish. I was having a discussion with producer Scott during like second hour of the Alex Jones show. We were talking about things. I was grabbing those clips of Mike Waltz off the computer. And we were talking about, you know, how J6, he saw from the very beginning that it was a bad thing that had happened, that people had breached the Capitol, because he said the media is going to turn this against everybody and make this the big issue. And he said the reason we won the Revolutionary War is because we ran the printing press. We made our own flyers. We were making our own booklets. We were making our own, essentially, propaganda to show the other people, hey, this is what's going on. Had the English been controlling the press, had the English been able to put that stuff out, we might not have won the Revolutionary War, because they would have been able to turn, you know, the 40, 50%, 60% that weren't involved, turn them against the revolutionaries, saying, or turning them in, you know, turn them into Stasi spies. So it's very important to have that press. And the press now is still, they may act like they're with Trump in certain situations, but they're not. They are definitely not. And they want to foment what has been going on since Obama got into power, which is create this divide between, they saw people coming together during Occupy Wall Street. They saw people unite against that. And they're like, we got to stop this. The only way to do it is to divide people on race. And that's how we can do it. And that's what they've been doing ever since.
I agree.
Your response to that?
Oh, no, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And they're upset, you know. They want Trump to attend the this press thing that they have once a year, and I don't think he's going to attend it. And so, yeah, they're
having fits.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Wayne. You got anything else you want to add?
Well, you know, I don't get to have intelligent conversations with people like this very often. I could stay on here for the next half hour and bring up some really good points, but I'm going to go for now just to give somebody else a chance. And I will be calling in again trying to talk to you because I just want to say one more thing before I leave. I hope Alex is listening to this. I'd like to see Alex kind of take it easy on the attitude of Melania is leaving Donald Trump. I don't think that's a wise thing for him to be saying or doing right now, simply because you don't bring somebody's wife into petty spit spat, even though he called Alex stupid and low IQ and says ridiculous things. Trump's got a mouth on him, and to be honest with you, if I had to be in the same room with him, this fight, even sure. though I voted for him.
Sure, yeah, you know? Yeah. No, yeah. You know, Trump wants to be the alpha dog. That's definitely true. Well, thanks for calling, Wayne. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was great. Guys, bring up their website. It's Promethean Spire, I think, something like that. But bring that up so we can show people where that is, where you could go get a kind of measured response that's not coded with, you know, big pharma ads and everything else. These people are just like kind of old LaRouchians. They're Lyndon LaRouchians. They're from that school. And you watch this stuff and you're like, oh, this kind of makes sense. Okay. The world's not going to end, you know, and you know, we know Trump threatened North Korea. He's like, I got a big red button too. You know, Trump did all this stuff. Trump does this. This is his thing. Now, I don't agree with saying we're going to blow you off, you know, blow you guys off the map. I don't think that was the right thing to do, but he said it. And that's what we have. But let's see. Monday Brief exposed Trump names the hidden war. Britain has no cards left. Promethean Action website. Yeah, it is. That looks like it is. And there, so I would say go watch some of their stuff, see what you think. Let's go to Abraham. Abraham in New York has a gun question. We got the gun guy right here with us. So you called at the right time, Abraham. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's a really great entrepreneur and a great role model. I would like for him to remark on the seed capital and what was his start in the industry of distributing and also educating. How did he get to set up? Did he stop at a little shop? But my other question was, how do you explain to a 12-year-old what is an American gun owner? What is that individual? Mm. You know, obviously, you know. And second, how do we teach that 12-year-old what is the place of this instrument, a gun, in our society as human beings? Like, how do you explain to them to frame it properly?
All right, Michael, we got a philosophical and a historical question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got started by, I actually started in the living room of my house, you know, teaching people how to shoot and stuff like that. I got my neighbors together, family members together, you know, all sat down on a Saturday morning and talked gun safety, talked gun law, and went to the gun range and shot. And then one of my neighbors, like, what's going on? Is this some kind of militia? You know, what's happening here? What do you got going on, Michael? On a Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, people are getting out of their vehicle with guns. You know, yeah. What's happening? And so they wanted to join in, and then other people wanted to join in. And I said, okay, we need to find somewhere else to go. So we went to hotel conference rooms. We started.
I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah, started doing classes there. We actually got overbooked, you know, in the hotel conference rooms.
Nice.
And then we had to find our own place. And that's how we ended up at Central Texas Gunworks. And I've been doing it for like 20, 25 years, you know. So, you know, teaching classes. Man, I think you should start kids young. You know, you definitely should start them young, teach them gun safety, you know, don't touch the firearm, you know, unless, you know, parents around, there's an adult around, stuff like that. And take them to the gun range, you know, show them that, you know, what they actually can do. You know, teach them how to shoot. I've taken someone as young as 2 years old to the gun range and taught them how to shoot. I remember this, you know, little kid, he's like 2 years, a little less than 2 years. And he started shooting him, helping him hold the gun and everything. And he got support. He's like, I got this. Move. Stop. I got it. You know, so, you know, it gave him that confidence, you know, that he wanted to, you know, actually continue shooting. And I love that, you know.
And when a young kid sees what a gun can do, they're not going to start playing around with it because they're like, oh, this is serious. It's absolutely not. Because most of the time when you see kids, it's an accident where they grab the gun. They don't realize it's loaded or whatever. And it goes off. I don't think there's ever a point where a young kid is trying to kill somebody.
Yeah, it takes.
They're screwing around because they don't know, And that's what happens. And then you get, you know, a tragic incident.
Right. You have to remove the curiosity of it. You know, teach them about it. Let them do use it. Take them to the range. You know, how to hold, how to stand. You know, what's going to happen when that bullet goes out of the barrel of that gun and hits, you know, the target. Let them see that and let them, you know, let them shoot on rapid fire, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it's fun. It's nice. Teach them how to hunt. Because we need to get back to the basics, you know, how to hunt for our food. You know, what if something happens? We're at that point, you know, everything collapses. You know, can you go out and can you, you know, kill, you know, for your food? Can you bring it back?
You know, and not even collapse. It could be high prices. You know, a deer will feed you for, it'll feed a family of four for several months.
I mean, look, my goodness, the gas prices right now, people are losing their ever-loving mind. I'm waiting for people to start siphoning, you know, gas out of people's
We're going to start getting locks again on our on our gas pipe, our gas caps.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that to happen. So you need to teach your family how to survive. And, you know, and if COVID didn't teach you, you know, going through that whole experience, things being shut down, you know, the government, everyone being locked up in place or whatever. If that didn't teach you anything, you know, man, you're not learning. You know, you got to know how to, you know, be prepared for your family and be that, you know, provider.
All right. Thanks for the call, Abraham. That was good. That was a good call. Let's go to Dragon in Wisconsin. Let's talk about the obfuscation of laws in, it says, many Texas. Do you guys mean mini Texas, M-I-N-I, or go ahead, Dragan?
It's actually Bregan.
Oh, they put a D there. I thought it was Bregan, yeah.
Hey, I'm the guy who said that I adore the fact that you've been around for a long time and you actually told me some pretty bizarre stories. You've been there, and Darren, and a bunch of other people, and I don't give a knee to very many people. I would to you guys. So, with that being said, I love your the person who's online with you,
Michael Cargill, Central Texas Gunworks.
Michael Cargill. Gun owners. Gun owners of America also. I'm friends with a person in West Bend, Wisconsin, who was doing similar types of gun ownership. And do you want to carry a... do you want to have a lawyer who is always available? No. State by state, laws are different. I appreciate what you're doing. However, what is the coming, basically, issue with InfoWars? And are we, what is the true deadline? I love you.
Yeah. Okay. The true deadline of what's going on. Well, as of right now, it's going to be April 30th is when we're going to cease operations here at the Central Texas Command Center. And that's for many reasons. I'm going to let Alex explain why, but that looks like the date at this point. As I sit here right now, this is the date. I don't think that's changing. It's changed many times, mainly because, you know, the Revolutionary War, even though it looked like they were losing most of the time, the reason they didn't lose the war is because they didn't stop fighting. And so when Alex says, hey, this is happening, I need your support, it's because we're fighting a constant battle. There have been two instances where we've been kicked out of this area. One, they tried to do it on June of 2024, and then another with that fake auction. And the big one was, so the June one was where they brought the armed security and said, oh, they have guns. One of their arguments was they have guns here. Yeah, a lot of people have guns here. It's just, we're in Texas, bro. That's what we do. We carry guns. And that was that we were dangerous, and that CRO tried to, you know, basically constrict the company by getting rid of all outside sponsors. And so they've kind of done the same thing with this new state-based receiver who is basically not paying the bills. So at some point, like, internet's going to get cut off here. All the other satellite services, the satellite ends on May 1st. So we have to have we already have a backup studio, but then that's going to be run by a different company. It's not going to be run by Free Speech Systems anymore. So Free Speech Systems will technically will cease to operate at the end of like 11:59 on April 30th. And then May 1st, we will be at the new place. That's how things are right now. Things as I understand them. That could change, but that's where it's at. That's why we always need your support right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That is our main sponsor. If there's any sponsor that you support, it's thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, since you asked, 60% off. It says everything today only. So a massive sale. Go there right now. Check out everything we have. We have the shirts, hats. They're talking about $15.99 each. There's the low IQ hat. We've got the 1776. Are you low IQ?
I think I'm low IQ.
There you go. Sometimes it's good to be low IQ. We have the 1776 shirts that are InfoWars. We're not going to be selling anything at the Alex. When I say we, I mean the people at the Alex Jones store, Bigley, is not going to be selling anything with the InfoWars logo on it after April 30th. So if you want something with the InfoWars logo on it, you need to go right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out that cooler right there. Looks like one of those kind of Yeti-ish soft coolers.
Right.
It's got some koozies in it. It's got some sunglasses. Check it out, $79.99. I think when you go to try to buy these at the Yeti type stores, mm-hmm. they're a lot more expensive.
Right.
And it's also a great carry-on bag. That's what I use when I go on. I have my backpack or my carry-on bag, and I bring a cooler with me. Oh, yeah. And I put stuff in the cooler, and then when I go somewhere and I want to put some drinks in the cooler, I just pull everything out and put it in a soft bag. Pull everything out, and I got a cooler. I don't have to go look for a cooler. I don't have to make the cooler in the sink with ice. Right. I've got my cooler.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's a great $79 for an amazing cooler that's also a carry-on bag. So,
like,
check.
Yeah, like you said, that's going to be twice as more expensive in other places.
Exactly, yeah. So, get that, and you support what we're doing. So, check that out. Ultimate Chill, Ultimate Energy have launched. And let's see. Right now, look at this. Subscribe and lock in for life. $16.99 a month for, it looks like, Ultimate Energy and Ultimate Chill. And this is only going to be for the first 1,000 subscribers of the product. So if you want Ultimate Energy and Ultimate Chill, it's basically caffeine and L-theanine. And then in the chill, there's L-theanine and something else that I don't have it in front of me. You know what? I'll go find one at the break and let you know what's in it. But right now, the first 1,000 subscribers, you lock it in for $16.99 a month. Regularly after that, it's going to go to $24.99 a month. And if you're a VIP member, you get $40 a month. They charge you $30, but they give you an extra $10 on top of that. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off today only. Check it out and get you a cooler while you're there. There's Ultimate Chill and Ultimate Energy. Michael, it's been great having you. We do have, I think we have one more Second Amendment question. So why don't you stay for the first five, and we'll get that Second Amendment question from Forrest, and maybe we'll get Dan in West Virginia. He wants to talk about the Appalachian Mountains. So maybe we'll get both of those in. I went to college in West Virginia, so I know a little bit about don't go when something calls your name out in the woods. Don't go there. All right, don't go see. Hey, what's up?
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag, with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexandstore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexandstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.